On account of the connection between the primary common good and the secondary common good, the political authority in the state must accordingly strive to secure to each member of the community the practical possibility of acquiring that sufficiency of worldly goods normally required for a decent life. Now, that sufficiency of goods will not be forthcoming unless the right of private ownership of productive property be respected. To quote Pope Leo XIII, quote, "It is clear that the main tenet of socialism, community of goods, must be utterly rejected, since it only injures those whom it would seem to benefit, is directly contrary to the natural rights of mankind, and would introduce confusion and disorder into the commonweal. It would throw open the door to envy, to mutual invective, and to discord. The sources of wealth themselves would run dry, for no one would have any interest in exerting his talents or his industry. And that ideal equality about which they entertain pleasant dreams would be in reality the leveling down of all to a like condition of misery and degradation." End of quote. But then, private ownership of productive property must also recognize and fulfill the social function incumbent on it on account of the secondary common good of the members of the society. Says Pope Pius XI, quote, "Neither Leo XIII nor those theologians who have taught under the guidance and direction of the Church have ever denied or called in question the twofold aspect of ownership, which is individual or social according as it regards individuals or concerns the common good. Their unanimous contention has always been that the right to own private property has been given to man by nature, or rather by the Creator himself, not only in order that individuals may be able to provide for their own needs and those of their families, but also that by means of it, the goods which the Creator has destined for the human race may truly serve this purpose. Now, these ends cannot be secured unless some definite and stable order is maintained. There is, therefore, a double danger to be avoided. On the one hand, if the social and public aspect of ownership be denied or minimized, the logical consequence is individualism, as it is called. On the other hand, the rejection or diminution of its private and individual character necessarily leads to some form of collectivism. To disregard these dangers would be to rush headlong into the quicksands of modernism, in the moral, juridical, and social order which we commended in the encyclical letter issued at the beginning of our pontificate. Let this be noted particularly by these seekers after novelties who launch against the Church the odious calumny that she has allowed a pagan concept of ownership to creep into the teachings of her theologians, and that another concept must be substituted, which in their astounding ignorance they call Christian." End of quote. It is the function of the political authority in the state to get owners of property to fulfill the social function incumbent on them. Writes Pope Pius XI, quote, "It follows from the twofold character of ownership, which we have termed individual and social, that men must take into account in this matter not only their own advantage, but also the common good. To define these duties in detail when the need occurs and when the natural law does not do so is the function of government. Provided that the natural and divine law be observed, the public authority, in view of the common good, may specify more accurately what is licit and illicit for property owners in the use of their possessions. It is plain, however, that the state may not discharge this duty in an arbitrary manner. Man's natural right of possessing and transmitting property by inheritance must remain intact and cannot be taken away by the state, for man precedes the state, and the domestic household is antecedent as well in idea as in fact to the gathering of man into a community. Hence the prudent pontiff has already declared it unlawful for the state to exhaust the means of individuals by crushing taxes and tributes. The right to possess private property is derived from nature, not from man, and the state has by no means the right to abolish it, but only to control its use and bring it into harmony with the interests of the public good. However, when civil authority adjusts ownership to meet the needs of the public good, it acts not as an enemy, but as the friend of private owners. For thus, it effectively prevents the possession of private property intended by nature's author in his wisdom for the sustaining of human life from creating intolerable burdens and so rushing to its own destruction. It does not, therefore, abolish, but protects private ownership. And so far from weakening the right of private property, it gives it new strength. End of quote.